And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. So we are here speaking about another creative community. There's many different creative communities, and we all kind of interlink with each other. And today we are focusing on music, and in specifically the Eleuthera All That Jazz Festival, which was founded by Patricia Lee Wood, who's in the studio with us tonight. And the musician Adrian D'Aguilar has been performing there for the last 6 years. Have you seen it change over those 6 years, Adrian? Has it evolved for you as a musician?
It's gotten better. Mm-hmm. I think the organizers have done a better job in just organizing mm-hmm. the entire week of events. All the musicians that come and play, mm-hmm. they leave with good things to say. Mm-hmm. I'm in contact with a lot of them, and they enjoy it. Mm-hmm. It's a paid vacation for them.
Yep.
You know, they make friends. They're treated with the red carpet treatment, mm-hmm. which is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, and not just the foreign musicians.
The Bahamian musicians
yep. also are treated with respect. We have more food than we can eat. Mm-hmm. Which is a lot.
And I know there are some musicians that come with, like, I believe there's one who must have a few cases of Guinness, I think.
Ah, yes, right? Absolutely. But we do try to restrict his intake of Guinness. He's not allowed to have any until
after the performance, the show.
Right. But he susses out where we've hidden the Guinness.
Listen, it's like kids in a Christmas presents. They always find them.
We've taken away the intravenous part of it.
Has there been any kickback or any commentary? Because again, you know, we're very much always, you know, protecting what's Bahamian. And is there anyone that's ever said, why do you have a jazz festival when jazz isn't Bahamian? Or do you get that, Adrian? Like, why aren't you playing Rake and Scrape? Why aren't you playing Gumbe? How come you're a jazz musician? How can you be Bahamian and play jazz? Do you ever get that from musicians?
I haven't gotten that as it relates to the jazz festival, mm-hmm. but I get that a lot. Mm-hmm. Or not so much a lot now, but I have. And I think that's sad. That's disappointing, because it's really about music. It's mm-hmm. all about sound. Duke Ellington said it best. He said there's only two kinds of music. It's good music and bad music. Mm-hmm. What you call it is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Does it make you feel good? I mean, what I do when I play music, does it connect with you? That's what should be important. And jazz music is predicated on that, you see. Mm-hmm. It's built on the art of improvisation. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying I'm spontaneously creating something mm-hmm. based on a skeleton that you give me or I choose. I'm spontaneously expressing something that's deep within. Mm-hmm. And that's what I practice to do. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work, because it's a whole new set of disciplines, and it's applicable to anything. Mm-hmm. Scott Robinson, who was here last year, the great reeds player, I can't just call him a tenor sax because he played alto, saxophone, soprano. He played with the Junkanoo band on the Friday night at the Fish Fry.
Mm-hmm. How great!
I recorded. I could not believe what I was hearing, and the Junkanoo guys were basking in this great accomplished saxophonist in the middle of their posse playing his heart out like he belonged there. See, that's the cool thing about music. It's just a universal language. Mm-hmm. So when we give it barriers like Bahamian, then we do it more of a disservice, mm-hmm. because we're a little island that's a little group of islands that's separated by water. So we don't get the exposure that the kids in New York get, mm-hmm. or L.A., or a big city where you have an influx of cultures, mm-hmm. and people from all different races and creeds, and they bring in their ideas and mm-hmm. their everything. I lived in America for 23 years, in 23 of my adult years. And wherever I am in my musical journey, it's because of my experiences that mm-hmm. I could not have gotten had I stayed here. Mm-hmm. So I'm not one to talk Bahamian music, mm-hmm. American music, in general.
It's music. Yeah. One, also, I think it does limit then. I mean, if someone is a very talented, let's say they're a talented violinist, right? I mean, you don't have a violin in Rake and Scrape. So should they just give up? And
precisely.
It does limit then the possibilities of what Bahamians can do if you don't encourage
exactly.
the other
And you have every right as a Bahamian to be a violinist.
Yeah.
You know,
and every right as a human, actually. I remember, because people make fun of me sometimes because I go to Junkanoo all the time and I go hang out in the shacks, and they're all like, oh, really, you? And I'm like, listen, I'm Bahamian. I have a heartbeat.
That's right.
Isn't it the heartbeat of the nation? Right. And I'm part of the nation too. So yes, I'm. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I was actually in a Lutheran. I think I was even staying at Pat's house, and I was there at New Year's, and my now husband, we were visiting together, and he had never experienced Junkanoo before, and it was only like little mini Lutheran Junkanoo. But I remember we were out and we were watching the fireworks, and suddenly the group came along, and everyone was really busy watching the fireworks, but he just got taken by the drums,
right?
And he disappeared with them. And literally, people were like, "Where'd your husband go?" And I'm like, "I think I've lost him. I think he's not coming back. He's going to join a Junkanoo group." And you know, this is this big German dude, right? He always actually jokes. He says, "In fact, I'm the only real Saxon in the Bahamas," because he's actually from Saxony in the Bahamas. And I think you're so right. Like, music is something very universal, appeals to different people is, you know, again, my husband, it's the drums.
But we also have to remember that when we keep talking about music as Bahamian music, this music, that, actually music going back in history has influenced each other. Each discipline of music
exactly.
influences mm-hmm. another.
Right.
Bahamian music was influenced also by a lot of other
British quadrilles and all kinds of weird stuff.
Influenced by African music. It was influenced by South American music.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
No music, unless you're going to go deep into the heart of the Amazon and you're going to find a tribe that has never actually heard or seen anybody else before, nobody is going to be able to say that the music they play is pure anything.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's a gift.
It's a good point.
Yes.
It's a very good point. During the break, we were actually talking about, Adrian was again saying it's so great that all that jazz is really jazz. And you said that, like, sometimes people are like, oh, why don't you add some blues in there? And you're like, no, it's going to be a jazz festival. What about that idea to maybe? Because, again, you know, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, right, everyone was coming to the Bahamas to listen to the music. So what about a blues festival in Abaco? What about a reggae festival somewhere
else. There are reggae festivals in the Bahamas. Wasn't there one in Cat Island recently? Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought I heard that. That may be wrong, but mm-hmm. I thought there was some reggae in Cat Island.
Not sure.
Or somewhere. Anyway, yes, in fact, a blues festival has been talked about, and hopefully maybe one day that... I feel a little overwhelmed with Eleuthera All That Jazz. Mm-hmm. I don't really know if I could run two festivals. Yes. They're very time consuming.
Yeah.
But it certainly is something that I've discussed and might take further.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I want to keep Eleuthera All That Jazz jazz is I do love jazz. I love pure jazz. I like blues too. But if you're going to be a jazz festival, then be a jazz festival.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you start moving into blues, where do you stop?
Mm-hmm.
Because blues then moves on. Where do you go? And we try to make it jazz that appeals pretty much to everybody. That doesn't mean that we're what I call elevator jazz, because that gets very boring. We vary the kind of sound. Like we've got a lot of European musicians this year, and they have a very, very different jazz sound to, say, Steve Coven, who's going to be coming from Canada. That will be a different sound again. And we mix them up. And then we've got the Bahamians that will blend in, because they'll play on their own. The Jazz Cats will play on their own. But a lot of the Bahamian musicians will be backing and will be joining the Europeans and the Canadians to fill up the bands and stuff. So it all becomes a great big conglomerate.
Do they have time to rehearse, or do they just all get together and like make it work? Adrian, how does that work?
Some of it is already being done. Yeah. Internet is great for that.
Yeah.
They're sending each other charts. They're already preparing their shows.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Anushka Wright, who is a wonderful Bahamian jazz singer.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Who's mainly based now in Montreal. She's going to be coming down and then staying for a while. So hopefully you'll all be able to hear her here in Nassau as well. She's already in touch with Steve Coven, and they're all figuring out what they're doing from the Canada side. So... then they arrive on Monday, and they have the whole of Tuesday and a lot of Wednesday to rehearse. And then, as Adrian said, they'll jam way into the night anyway. So, I mean, they'll be rehearsing at 2 in the... I think the best music played on Eleuthera is probably not in front of the audience.
Right.
It's a Kokanee Mama at 2 o'clock in the morning.
See, now everyone's going to show up there. Now everyone's going to show up there at midnight being like, okay.
It's fun.
How fantastic. But I mean, I suppose being trained in jazz, then that's actually not so hard to be with a group of people that, I mean, can you all like improvise off each other? I mean, how hard is that to be on stage accompanying or, you know, being with someone who you literally met the day before?
Right.
Is there a problem in terms of chemistry or in terms of...
Well, you know, the thing with practicing and studying jazz is you always feel better when you have a little preparation, like I know this song, or I'm familiar with these changes and really familiar with it. Then I can relax a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to think as hard or depend on my musical abilities. I can just be creative.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't always happen, and so you practice to sort of spontaneously do something and make it sound good and be cohesive with what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of work, because you have to listen, and that in and of itself is hard to do, because a lot of people don't know how to listen. They think, I'm hearing you, so I'm listening to you. It's another thing. Listening means I'm concentrating on what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I am invested in what you're doing. And that's why jazz musicians are so trance-like when they're playing.
Yeah.
Because they're
intense.
They're intense.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'm able to execute what I'm hearing, and we're painting this big portrait together, and this is an open canvas, and this is my contribution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bass player, so I have to be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
I have to find a foundation that is pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
And suitable to what you're giving me.
Yeah, I'm always amazed when I listen to, you know, a group together. Like I told you the other night, I was at that wonderful like Valentine's Day get together that gets organized every year by different musicians, and I was just listening, and you know, the trumpet player will play for a little bit, and then he'll stop, and then the sax guy will pick up, and I'm always amazed how it seems to just happen so organically. Obviously, you know, and they must be then paying attention, because the way one feeds off the other is so extraordinary.
And it helps when the spirit is right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, musicians generally love one another,
mm-hmm.
and jazz musicians also are typically really, really nice people. I don't know why that is. It must have something to do with
mellow.
You know,
yeah, no, mellow. Probably because they're doing what they love.
They're doing what they love, and they're being honest. And it's an honest art form, you see, because I'm honestly saying what's, you know, a part of me.
Well, you have to expose yourself to a certain degree, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You have to share yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not so contrived and pre-thought out and everything. And audiences, you know, gravitate toward that because they feel the honesty.
Do you have any problems with, going completely off track, with the weather? Because to play outside, I would imagine in a concert hall.
We have occasionally, two years ago, we were setting up for jamming at Fish Fry, and the wind was blowing directly off the sea. There was quite a little, especially the horns, they were very worried about getting salt water. And so actually, I think it was Kevin Dean finally said, just turn your back to the sea and play. Because Kevin didn't want to have to move the setup to the other side.
But also, does it affect the instruments, the humidity, and does it affect the sound?
Absolutely. So, my bass, for instance, is 117 years old. And it's an old bass, and the humidity is not good for it.
Mm-hmm.
The direct sunlight is not good, because it's held together with glue.
Mm-hmm.
So any little melting of that glue, I have a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take.
Well,
a trip.
I imagine even the wood probably bends.
So I have to. I did a gig last night, and it was so humid.
Mm-hmm.
And we took a break, and I came back to play. My bass was all wet.
Oh my gosh!
And I was afraid I had to wipe it down, and then it's hard to play, and then you have things like mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. You're trying to play something and you have to hit a mosquito off your tip of your nose. You know?
Or spend the rest of the night scratching.
You're right.
Yeah, I have to say, as Adrian is talking about that, he's giving me slightly dirty looks because I know that one of the things that they don't like about jazz at Jacaranda is that I make them play in the open. But yeah. I did concede a few years ago.
You have such Adrian, a beautiful room there.
But Adrian, yeah, he wants to play inside, you see. Adrian complained that he had to put his bass on the stone and therefore he couldn't feel it properly. So we did build him a portable stage. So he now gets to put it on the stage. But
you prefer wood? Is that?
Yes.
Well, yeah, yeah, because it
reverberates differently.
Reverberates, yeah. That's the word.
God, that's really interesting. That's good to know because we're actually, I have to talk to you after the show, we're putting an amphitheater in the sculpture garden next door to the National Art Gallery. Mm. And, of course, we want it to be out of organic material that is part of the... So it will probably be in stone, but we've talked about already having a wooden stage that we can put together.
Bass.
Exactly. Well,
yeah.
Or for anyone, because again, we've spoken to a few, you know, musicians, and they're like, well, stone just really,
and
the sound comes back to you in a different way.
Dancers can't dance on stone.
No, sure, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very bad for them. They'll end up with buck chins. Well, that's, if they're a horse, they'd have buck shins.
They'll have sore shins. We're not going to have any dancing horses.
Shins.
I'm just saying that right
sore
now, okay?
Shins. No dancing
no
horses.
No dancing horses at the NAGB. So.
Oh, well, not yet. Anyway.
Not yet. We'll see. But yeah, we are looking into developing the sculpture garden next door to include a little amphitheater, which will only be about sort of, you know, 100, 125 people to sit. But it'll be somewhere we can do screenings and talks, but also hopefully have musical events. Because I'd love to bring music more into the National Art Gallery.
The jazz
but
at the gallery.
Well, the only, the, you know, everyone always wants to use the ballroom, but our problem is that we are, you know, our first job is to be an art museum, and so we never know until the show's up what it's going to be like in the ballroom. So we can't book things 3 months in advance, 4 months in advance, because we just don't know. There might be a huge sculpture in the middle of the room and we can't move it.
Right.
So, but it is a great room for doing things, so we're hoping to be able to expand there. So we'll see. Maybe the Jazz Cats will be coming and playing at the National Art Gallery.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And
I'll write it in my calendar.
Right. But not. We definitely don't want to compete with Jacaranda down the road because you're doing such a great job, Pat.
Well, we're only the first Sunday of every month, so there are plenty of other days
That's
in the
true.
Month.
That's true. So listen, it was a real pleasure having you both on the show. Patricia Lee Wood, thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you very much for inviting us and letting us talk about Luther All That Jazz and jazz in general.
Exactly. And Adrian, thank you as well.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you so much.
So great to have you in the studio and to get off the topic of fine art occasionally and learn about the other art forms that are flourishing here in the Bahamas. Because again, as I always say, we have the most extraordinary talented people in this country in many of the arts, and we need to do everything we can to support them. And as I do also say, very often support is just showing up. So really, if you can, go to Eleuthera, All That Jazz, or the Jazz at Jacaranda, or anything. You know, if you're not, you know, normally on the show we're talking about art, maybe art's not your thing, then show up and support something else. Because creative people are so important to our community. They're so important to how we move forward as a nation. And very often they're the people that get the least support from, whether it's the schools, whether it's the government. It's really people that are just passionate about what they do, and they put everything on the line to do that. And those are the people that need support, and support very often is just showing up.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So please do your best. Go to the website, eleutheraallthatjazz.com. Look at the calendar of events. See what you want to, the performances, the really professional ones. You know, there's a fee to attend those, but it is absolutely worth it. And as Patricia said, all the revenue goes to support programming at the Haynes Library, which provides such a service to all of Eleuthera, with summer programs, with after-school programs, helping kids with their homework, all kinds of things. So it's a really good thing to support. And if you don't have the money to go to one of those very big events, there's the Fish Fry. You can go to that. And just, again, showing up, showing the musicians that you're there, showing the local Junkanoo group that you're there, that means so much to everybody. So I really encourage you to go. It's a great, great weekend. Always so much fun. You always meet the best people. And as Adrian said, the boat trip back on the Bohengi on Sunday night, that's pretty awesome too.
That's pretty awesome.
So thank you both for being here. You've been listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so very much for listening, and good night.